shake and awkward.
A handy
dandy
belted
then,
what the heck?
Just hanging out, and talking dance stuff.
Don't give school dads any dad guff.
So take a knee, use inside voices. We're talking no malarkey, tire pressure, playing catch, time a corner, doing raids. It's your bedtime, eat your veggies. Pull up a lawn chair and open some suds. Crack some dad jokes with these dad buds. You better behave or they'll turn this damn car right around.
Wait, can you turn him up or wait?
Let me get the thing closer.
Oh, there he is. Yep, there he is.
How about
what up,
this?
Buddy?
Not much, man. Was that you playing the lovely music I was hearing?
Oh, were you hearing that?
I logged in and heard about 30 seconds of it kind of in the background. It sounded so soothing.
Was it was I singing or was I just playing the guitar?
Just playing. I feel like if you were singing, I wouldn't have said that.
Oh. Well,
but I'm not sure. I've never heard your singing voice.
Oh, that was rude. Then it,
well, no, that's not true, though. Because I don't know why I just assumed that for some reason the singing voice that you have in my brain is not what you probably have. But you were, I realized you were a Beach Boy. So obviously you had to, you know, like do, you sang.
Nathan.
So.
Nobody backpedals like Nathan Kress.
Nobody.
You should have been in the NFL draft with that backpedal. Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. Those hips
Number
are
one.
Low. Those feet are chopping it up.
Oh,
oh
ready,
buddy.
Ready to just walk that bad boy back to the other team's end zone and safety.
In NFL terms, Nathan, you've got a quick twitch when it comes to that backpedal. I love you, buddy. I'm just giving you crap.
I know.
How
you
are you? Are you good?
I'm
How
good.
Are things?
We're fine. Yeah, we're you know, a little still kind of on the board side, but still just trying to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
Dude, we finally got our pizza party for Rosie, our potty training pizza party.
Yes.
Last night. It finally
good.
Happened. I'm so excited. Oh my gosh.
Dude, that's awesome. Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And good for Rosie. I mean,
seriously.
Really, the big winner in all of this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not upset that we weren't constantly changing soiled underwear before and not doing it for 3 days was a big win. But yes, good for Rosie.
Yeah. That's
and
great.
It's so funny. She honestly seemed different on that day. The way that she was acting and talking and everything else, I honestly wonder if she got over some kind of like mental leap or something that sort of allowed her to get to that point. Then again, I also threatened her 3 days before. So it may
well,
have been
this
more
might,
that.
This might have something to do with it, yeah.
It might. It wasn't really a threat so much. It's just she hated being told to go. And
and
she kept having accidents. So I was like, look, I get that it's frustrating to be told that you have to go to the bathroom, but if you keep doing this and having accidents all the time, I'm going to have to do that and you're going to be very upset. So I tell you what, if you have another accident after this moment, from now on, I'm going to set a timer for every 15 minutes and every 15 minutes, you're going to have to stop what you're doing and try to sit on the potty and go to the bathroom and you're not going to have a good time. And then from that moment on, she never had an accident. So the moral there is threaten your children.
Well, yes, I think though that your threat was, you know, a responsible threat.
Well, yeah, threat within reason, sure.
Yeah, and I have to say that we didn't ever get to the point where we threatened like literally setting a timer. But what we would do is you just get to a point where you have to sort of discipline yourself to just say, okay, I have to just ask them or physically sit them on the potty really often. Like you said, like every 15 minutes or something. And
yeah
that makes them start doing it because they then realize, you know, I'll go do it when I have to, not have to sit here when I don't have to. So
right, yeah. The problem
we did
was
the same thing.
Yeah, it's just any time we even suggested or asked her the question, we'd be like, Rosie, hey, it's been a little while. Do you want to try to go sit on the potty? She'll just turn around and go, no! So it wasn't, it was like the worst thing to ask her to do. So we didn't want to do that every 15 minutes and pull her away from whatever she was doing. So it had to be the threat, I felt like.
You didn't want to pull her away from her busy, you know,
from her little
tower,
Einstein
tower building schedule or whatever.
According to Daniel Tiger, every
schedule,
every time she builds something, she goes, toss tower in the world, like Daniel Tiger. So,
meow, meow, tallest tower in the world, meow, meow.
Yeah. Look at that tower, toots.
Oh, my gosh. I have
she
a friend.
Creeps
this
me
is,
out.
You know what, man? I have a friend that I won't call out by name, of course. I almost just did, but I won't. A friend of ours, parent friends of ours, who will not let their children watch Daniel Tiger because my buddy goes, I don't want my kids saying meow, meow. he's like, they're going to start talking weird. He's like, those characters on that show talk weird. They don't talk normal. And he's I don't want them to pick up these weird speech habits. And they do. They have a weird cadence on that show.
Mm-hmm.
All of the characters do. But especially, yeah. I mean, little Katarina, kitty cat. She,
oh, man.
That poor child says meow, meow before and after and during every sentence she says.
Like
it's like Super Troopers.
There's nothing wrong with a child with a speech impediment, but when it gets to the point where it's a primary character on an educational kids TV show where they're inserting words that don't belong in a sentence, I feel like that's got to be confusing for the children.
It's like, yo, I'm trying to teach my kids right meow. I don't need you doing that right now because they're going to start doing things like putting meow in the middle of their sentences right meow.
Well, now you're so what happens when I watch Super Troopers with her next week?
I don't know. I'll go watch it right meow and then let you know.
Okay. The sooner the better. Cuz meow, I'm concerned that I won't be able to watch Super Troopers with her. And that's making me sad. Oh,
that was a really, really stupid movie. But I look back on it with a great fondness.
Oh, certainly. And they crowdfunded a second one. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, they did. I have a couple buddies, actually, that have little, tiny little bit parts in the number two Super Troopers. And so I've seen it, and it's just as silly and ridiculous as the first one, but it has a certain nostalgia to it, you know? And it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. A couple of my buddies play guys that, like, get pulled over by them. So in, like, you know, quick little... improvised scenes with those guys, those Broken Lizard guys, who are hilarious. I love all those.
Right.
I mean, have you watched Tacoma FD yet?
No.
It's actually really funny. It's the same guys. It's all those guys from Super Troopers, and it's really good. I think they're on their like second or third season now.
Really?
Actually, it's doing pretty well on, what is that, on True TV, I think.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Ah, whatever.
Wow. I need to see that.
Nathan, on this episode... There is a letter that who is it? Angelina Jolie or something wrote to parents. Have you seen this?
Who is that?
John Voight's daughter.
Oh, from National Treasure 1, 2, and 3. Yes, of course. John Voight's daughter.
No, it's Tomb Raider.
I'm sorry, what?
It's National Treasure, but with short shorts.
Oh, I got to see that movie.
Yeah, yeah, you should check it out.
Is it kind of like when he was FDR on Pearl Harbor? Was he wearing short shorts like in that one?
What?
We're talking about John Voight in short shorts.
What? No,
right?
We're talking about his daughter in short shorts.
Oh, whatever. I thought you were saying John Voight goes to a tomb in short shorts as FDR. And
no,
then
you're very confused. No, listen.
I'm really
his daughter Angelina.
Okay.
She wrote a letter or something to parents out there, and I figure as parents we should read it on the air and see if she had any good things to say or not or whatever.
I think that's
great
idea.
And then see if we can segue that into talking about more random movies like Varsity Blues or something like that. I don't know.
Sure. Why not?
All right. Stick around, everybody. We definitely have a plan for this episode.
I even have pants on today.
Wait, do you have the letter there? Can you be the one to read it? Your reading, reading is much better than mine.
Okay. There's so many ads on this. Well, now that's making me want. Oh, it closed the. It closed the tab on me. Now I'm looking at roasted sweet potatoes. Hang on.
You dirty vegan.
I know. But
dirty,
honestly,
dirty vegan.
For all the poots that it causes, it really is pretty good.
Nathan.
Yes, Brett.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. It's all right.
It's my standard operating procedure, though.
That's how it works. This is what the show is. We interrupt each other. No,
I was gonna say to you, you know, you brought up my guitar playing and singing. I was going to just sort of out of context, just I don't, because who knows what we're doing on this episode. Do you want to hear the song I was playing though?
Sure.
Do you want to? It's well, so there's this song. It's by this guy named Passenger. Do you know that guy?
Whose son is that?
I don't know. I don't know whose son he is, and maybe his. I don't know his dad's name. But he had that song, what is it? It was like Let It Go or something. It's like,
yeah,
that guy. He has this song called I Hate, which is just a cool song. And it like, I don't know, sometimes it perfectly encapsulates me. And I like it a lot. Do you want to hear just the first verse? You'll get what I'm talking about.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like a funny song. It goes like this. Well, I hate racist blokes telling tasteless jokes and explaining where people belong. I hate ignorant folks who pay money to see gigs and talk through every f***ing song. I hate people in nightclubs snorting cocaine and explaining where you're going wrong. Well, if you agree, then come hating with me and feel free to sing along. And it goes la 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 la, and then the whole audience starts singing because it's like this song about the things that you hate in life, but it's like it's things that we all kind of should hate, and it's okay to hate these certain like really annoying things in life.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It's a fun one.
I resonate with that.
Right, dude. Wow. You got to check it out. I'll send you a link, and we should actually put a link up on our social media too to him because he kind of just. It's not like it was a single or anything. There's a video of him on YouTube playing it at a live show, and it's really fun. I'll send it to you. I think you'll fall in love with it.
I'm sure I will at this point. So is this something that he just played at a gig, just kind of like noodling around, or is this actually a song?
I think
so. Is this a track off the album?
No, I don't know. I'm sure they put it on an album by now or something, but it was just like years ago. I don't know how I even ran across this video of him playing this at a gig, but it's really great. I'll send you the whole thing. He goes on and on and on about all kinds of things. He talks about like he hates picky eaters because you cook them fajitas, but they only want pizza and chips. And he's just, you know, it's just like funny little like observational things, you know, like that. So. Anyway, I think
sounds
you
like
it. Hey, you want to talk more about John Voight's daughter some more?
Yes, please. Anything regarding John Voight or any degree of separation from him is what I want to talk about on this episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he played the coach. He played the coach in Varsity Blues. You know.
He did not.
Yeah, he did.
Oh well, I have to watch it now. Yeah. If anything, but for John.
Wait, you've never seen Varsity Blues?
No.
Oh, Nathan Kress, I don't want your life. I do not want your life. That's a quote from the movie.
Oh, I thought you were just being very mean and hurtful.
No.
I was like, I have a great life, Brett.
You must watch this football movie from the 90s. If not for the greatness that is a football movie from the 90s, also watch it for how many times James Vanderbeek is successful at doing a Texas accent, and then how many other times in the movie he just forgets that he's supposed to be doing one. It's amazing. That thing goes in and out. It's a real roller coaster with JVB, James Vanderbeek. Yeah, JVB.
JV, yeah.
Real roller coaster of an accent ride with him.
Wow. Oh, I love those movies. Those are so great. That's like Channing Tatum in Jupiter Ascending. Sometimes he's British. Sometimes he's from Tucson.
Most people say that Varsity Blues is similar to Jupiter Ascending.
Do they say that?
It's like, been said many times.
Like if the Wachowski brothers did Gridiron Gang, it would be Varsity Blues.
Now, hey, Varsity Blues, by the way, Don't knock it so hard before you've seen it. I love that movie, and it's stacked full of people. You got James Van Der Beek, a very young Scott Conn in that movie.
Whoa.
Amy Smart. You remember Amy Smart?
Oh, she I remember great. Her, the darling of the 90s.
Who else? Who's the... she was a blonde actress. She was in Heroes. Oh, what is her name?
Oh, Hayden Panettiere?
Whipped Cream Bikini. No, not Hayden Panettiere. She would have been too young for Varsity Blues.
Oh, yeah, it's the 90s. That's right.
The older... what is her name? We got IMDb.
Oh, Allie Larder.
Yes. Yeah. Allie Larder in the Whipped Cream Bikini.
Oh, hello, Allie.
Varsity Blues, buddy. You got to check. Oh, and Paul Walker, too. R.I.P.
Really?
Yeah, wow. A young Paul Walker. I think it might even be like Paul Walker, one of his first movies. He plays the star quarterback, and then John Voight as the ruthless coach. Oh, you got to check this movie out, man.
Oh, for sure. I wonder if it's on any of the streaming services. I feel like...
Hayden Panettiere's Remember the Titans, by the way.
Yes. She is and that in was a football in the, yeah. movie. That's what I'm thinking. She was great in that movie. I wonder if that was kind of her first one. She was really
probably.
Young in that.
Yeah, she was young, yeah.
Do you think... What kind of active benevolence do you think it would require for every distributor and studio to say, like, for the next 45 to 60 days, we're letting Netflix license and Hulu and whatever, like, all the movies.
Oh, that'd be great.
So that
that'd be so cool.
It's like the Disney Plus of the world.
Yeah.
That there's just everything on there so that people can have...
Well, you know, Netflix can afford it. They're up, I think they're up like 16 million subscribers or something like that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Since the quarantine started.
Yeah.
Dude, but up, you have 16 million new customers. Like, I mean, that's like,
that's like an extra billion dollars a month.
It's like, oh my God, it's mind blowing.
Depending on what they're spending.
You ever find that we just, as humans, we throw around numbers, right? 16 million, whatever. And it's like, wow, that's pretty good. It's like, if you stop and think about that for a second, 16 million. People. That's more people than live in Los Angeles, isn't it?
Right. Well, and also keep in mind, that's 16 million subscribers, like 16 yeah. million families.
Dude, there's like 50-something million people that live in Canada. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Now
you're talking
all
about
of them have Netflix.
Million. It's like insane.
Yeah. That's anyway. A pretty massive number, especially knowing how many people mooch off of other people's Netflix.
Oh, yeah. It's over a quarter. That'd be like if over a quarter... of the population of Canada signed up for one thing in 30 days.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's anyway. Pretty nuts. Well, good for you, Netflix. Don't mess it up.
But I think, yes, I agree with you, though. Let's get them all out there. Let's get every movie. I've been going back and watching a lot of old movies. We'll get to this Angelina Jolie letter eventually.
Yeah, John Boyd's daughter can wait.
Sort of how this show goes. I've been watching a lot of old movies, or like 90s movies, but watching them in pieces. So just sort of like watching 20 minutes right before I fall asleep. And so kind of slow watching all these old movies. And it's been really fun. Like, I watched Last Samurai, the Tom Cruise movie.
That's an old movie for you?
Well, dude, it's like almost 20 years now.
It Seriously. Is?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
That one came out like 2004 or like two. I don't know. It's old though.
That movie is held up, dude.
Yeah.
That's
oh,
a
it's great
movie.
It's actually a lot better than I remember too. I was watching it like, wow, the fight scenes are amazing. They're like, I mean, the fight choreography is so good.
Oh yeah.
It was, dude, that movie was 2003.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Well, 17 years ago.
That makes sense because after watching it for the first time, I remember going on Age of Empires on my computer and setting up a custom simulation that was a bunch of samurai ride on horses riding against like gunmen or something.
Yeah.
To just like create my own version. And it didn't end well until I changed it to where I quadrupled the amount of samurai and they just rode right through those suckers. But it made me feel good.
You also didn't have Tom Cruise.
That's true. You can't program Tom Cruise because he would have just like swooped his hair and they all would have dropped dead.
That's the thing. His single guy alone takes out like 100, you know, soldiers. So yeah, you got to account for it. I mean, that's a lot, you know. So
yeah, I think you in know, 2003 that was they Tom Cruise, have Cruise in there.
2003 and Last Samurai, that was Tom Cruise BB, which is before braces. That's how you know how old it is.
Whoa.
You know what I'm talking about? Tom Cruise used to have a tooth right in the middle of his face. If you look, this is all true. Look it up, everybody. Google image Tom Cruise before braces. He has his one of his front teeth is directly in the middle of his face. And then after braces, his teeth are where they should be. Look it up, everybody. You'll see.
Hang on.
And he also had a pretty prominent, like, kind of snaggly canine over on, let's see, it would be his left. I've spent a lot of time looking at Tom Cruise's face, Nathan.
Yeah, I can tell.
He's Googling right now. I could tell.
Oh, I'm definitely Googling right now. Wow. Oh, wow.
Do you see it?
I do, but it looks fake.
Which one? The when it was crooked or the...
When it was crooked, where it just all you see is that one tooth.
That
like,
one tooth,
out.
Yeah. Right in the middle of his face. Yeah.
Wow. Man.
He shouldn't have got it fixed, though. He looked fine. I mean, he's one of, you know, he's like, he's Tom Cruise, for God's sake. He's like one of the sexiest men ever at that point, you know? Why did
was he considered that way pre-braces, though?
Oh, yeah.
Like, honestly.
Pre-braces, Top Gun, Days of Thunder, like, Risky Business. I mean, he's a heartthrob. He's a household name already, you know? Why did he, I don't know. He should have just left it. I don't know. It's like Frida Kahlo shaving her unibrow, you know?
Well, that's true. That was kind of the one thing she had going for her. So, it's because she wasn't an actress, though. She wasn't able to put her other talents on display for the people. Just her unibrow.
Just the unibrow, yeah.
Just that one defining feature that she had. Okay.
Hey, speaking of funny, do you want to read that Angelina Jolie letter?
Yeah, let's circle back around to that. Great transition, Brett. Wow, you're so good at this.
No.
Okay.
No, forget it. Don't. What else?
No. I'm doing it. Brett, I'm doing it. Here we go.
Do you
want
to hear the second verse of Passenger's song I Hate?
Yeah, get on it. Can you do it at the same time that I read this letter for the listeners listening pleasure?
No. No.
Oh. Oh, we're doing this at two different times.
This is such a good song. No, cuz it's a good song. It deserves all of your attention. You ready for the second verse?
I'm ready.
I hate pointless status. Updates on Facebook. Oh, here's the thing. Wait, hold on. He's English. So yes. I have to sing it with an English accent.
Yeah. I also slightly. Like, what did you say in the first verse where I was like,
what? Yeah, I probably did it with an English accent. Yeah, he's English. I should have said that. The song only works if you do it with a slight English accent.
Go. You have to do it now.
Okay. I hate pointless status. Updates on Facebook. FYI, we were never mates. We pretend to be friends on the internet, yet in real life we have nothing to say. To each other, oh brother, I have love for my mother, for good times, for music, and my mates. I love and I live and I have love to give, but sometimes all I can do is hate. And then the chorus again, right? That's a good, right? You feeling it?
Yes. I'm feeling it in that I identify with it, but I feel like if I listened to that too much, it would just make my day sad. Because I'd be like, yeah, I do hate that passenger.
Well, the fun part of the live video, like I'm telling you about, is the chorus is just la-la-las, right?
Right.
So the whole idea is like, if you agree with him, then join the chorus and just go la-la-la-la. So he gets the whole crowd going with him, and it gets pretty raucous because it's like everyone's just like, yeah, that thing is annoying.
Yeah,
it's kind of so it's triumphant a little bit,
especially because you get to just go like do it Irish drinking song style.
Yes. Yes,
you know?
Yes,
it's like Whose Line Is It Anyway when they do the Irish drinking song at the end.
Yes. Listen, buddy, Europeans, they drink better than we do.
They
and
really do.
Breaking out into song at a bar with everybody else is so communal and awesome, and I'm jealous of it.
I think as you're saying that, that might actually be a bucket list item for me. Going to a pub.
Yeah.
In like Dublin.
Uh-huh.
And just slamming a Guinness or whatever it is they drink over there, whatever lukewarm swill
no,
they drink.
No, you can get it cold.
You can?
Buddy, I hate to be a one-upper, but I've already done this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I cannot recommend it enough. My brother and I went to Ireland.
Yeah.
And this was like, I don't know, five or six years ago, maybe something like that, seven years ago. And we had so much fun. And we went to a pub in Dublin that I think was, you know, like established in like the 1500s, you know?
Jeez. And,
dude, people just, you know, around a certain time of night, these dudes show up with like acoustic guitars and one guy will have a fiddle and another guy will have a banjo or something like that. And they just start playing in the corner and the whole crowd knows all the songs. And then you get to know the choruses because they're all very easy. And it's like the greatest thing in the world. It's amazing.
That
it's
sounds
incredible.
So great.
It's incredible. Wow. And I can't wait until we can all experience that again. This is now making me sad. But it was great. And I kissed the Blarney Stone too. And I don't care if people pee on it. I kissed it anyway.
Hang on. What Blarney Stone, and why do you kiss it and why do people pee on it? Can you give a brief background there? Because we can't leave that alone.
I could have. I see, the reason I said it so quickly is because I swear this would want to be one of those. I thought this would be one of those things that you would have already known about. And because I thought what I was going to say is I kissed the Blarney Stone and then you would have said, you know, people pee on it, because you seem to know those kind of obscure things sometimes. But
yeah, I tend to.
There's the Blarney Stone. It's just a brick in a wall of a castle, on top of a castle in Ireland, Blarney Castle, actually. And I don't know, it's like tradition, you kiss it, but like everyone in the world has kissed it. You know, like Bing Crosby has kissed this thing. And so tourists line up in line for a long time, and the line weaves you through this castle, and you end up on top of it, and then they lay you down on your back, and you like bend over backwards over the side of this castle and kiss this brick in the wall. It's so silly. But
what?
Supposedly, yeah, this is a real thing. Supposedly, yeah, it's like good luck and Irish, you know, folklore and all that. But supposedly, the locals at night just go pee on it because they think it's funny that a bunch of tourists line up to kiss it. But either way, I don't care. It's tradition and I'm still here, so it's fine.
I honestly don't. I mean, I guess the peeing disgusts me more, but also just lining up to kiss the same thing that 3,000 people earlier in the day kissed. Like, y'all, that's where coronavirus started.
How do you think ticket sales are doing over there in Ireland for that right now?
Probably not great, and they probably won't recover for many a year to come.
There's probably a GoFundMe out there or something, though. We should find that, and I'm going to find that and try to donate to them, though, because like that's a park service thing, and they got to be, wow, that's going to be...
Well, if it's a park service,
and that thing's been around for hundreds of years.
I'm sure the feds are probably subsidizing it if it's like a historical whatever. Yeah.
You're right, though. That's never coming back.
Yeah.
Oh,
not the same way. That or it's going to taste like you kiss it and then someone Lysols it down and then the next person comes in. So it's just going to have
like... Oh, that takes all the magic off of it. It won't
be good
luck
anymore. I know. It's just going to have a bleachy taste from now on.
No. That's like an old Irish drinking saying, I think, is that... you can never disinfect the Blarney Stone or something. I don't know. There's something about like, there's something in there somewhere.
I've got that tattooed on me back. You can't disinfect the Blarney Stone.
Try as you might. You just can't disinfect. It's like how Americans, is it an American saying? Like you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. It's like the Irish way of saying the same thing. Like, try as you might, you can't disinfect the Blarney Stone. Hey, you want to read a letter from John Voight's daughter?
At this point, I think we have to, because otherwise something's going to go wrong. Okay.
Let's take a break and see if that actually happens.
Okay, I'm going to do it right out of the gate so that we can't get off on a tangent. Here we go. And after the break, Angelina Jolie's going to write us a letter. How about that, everybody? Stick around. Okay, welcome back.
I love this episode. This is my favorite episode. I love this episode.
I mean, it's probably some of our best work. But Also, maybe some of our worst. I'm not sure. We'll have to have our lovely producer decide if this one should just be shuttered and saved for a rainy day.
I hate fussy eaters. You cooked them fajitas. You didn't. Hey, you didn't start right in. This is your fault.
I was saying, welcome back to Radioactive Dads. You started going, I love this episode. I'm Brett, and I say things when I'm not supposed to. Blurty, 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 Blarney Stone.
I hate stepping outside for a smoke, and some guy coughs like your lungs are his. I hate queuing up for festival toilets, especially when you need a And I hate the X Factor for murdering music. You're a bunch of money-grubbing hypocrites. And then la 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 la. Anyway.
Can I read the letter now, or what's... I mean, that was great, Brett.
Go for it, man. Yeah.
Okay. So what I was going to say was, welcome back to Radioactive Dads, everybody.
You ever seen Midnight Cowboy?
You know what, you mother father.
All right. I'm shutting up. I'll mute my microphone even. There you go. Go.
Okay, just keep track of your thought because I'm really curious to hear what you're going to talk about. Okay, here we go. It's an open letter to parents from John Voight's daughter. Dear parents, you didn't mute your microphone, you idiot. I knew it. I knew you're waiting for a snide remark. All right, try and shut up for a second. Dear parents. Dear parents, I am thinking of you. I am imagining how hard each of you is trying to get through your days. How much you want to lead your loved ones through this. How you worry. How you plan. How you smile for them when inside you feel at times you are breaking. I was not a very stable youth. It's a funny sentence. In fact, I never thought I could be anyone's mom. I remember the decision to become a parent. It wasn't hard to love. It wasn't hard to dedicate myself to someone and something greater than my life. What was hard was knowing that from now on, I needed to be the one to make sure everything was okay, to manage it and make it work, from food to school to medical, whatever would come, and to be patient. I realized I stopped my constant daydreaming, instead staying always ready for any break into what I was doing or thinking to answer a need. It was a new skill to acquire. So now, in the midst of this pandemic, I think of all the mothers and fathers with children at home, all hoping they can do everything right, answer all needs, and stay calm and positive. One thing that helped me is to know that's impossible. It's a lovely thing to discover that your children don't want you perfect. They just want you honest and doing your best. In fact, the more room they have to be great where you are weak, the stronger they may become. They love you. They want to help you. So in the end, it's the team you build. And in a way, they're raising you up too. You grow together. You didn't even sign off, John Voight's daughter. How am I supposed to... Is this the end of the letter? I guess it's the end of the letter.
Billy Bob Thornton's ex-wife.
With the blood. Hashtag, love. I still got it.
Brad Pitt's ex-wife. Okay. So, I want to be snide and cynical, but at the same time, you know, at my core, I have a really soft, warm, nuggety center. So, how do we feel about this letter? I don't know.
I think it's a good reminder, especially for the people whose lifestyle this really kind of threw out of whack. You know, it's like as soon as they feel like they got it down as far as their workload with their family mm-hmm. load and their schedule and, you know, getting their kids on track and all that stuff, this, I'm sure, threw everything off. I feel like in a way we can't identify quite as much because this hasn't really thrown off our lifestyle that much. We're still just generally actors and industry people working from home pretty much anyway. So I feel like I haven't been as thrown off as she probably has, and the many, many people who are now either working from home or who have, God forbid, been furloughed or let go or affected in other ways by all of this stuff. But I do think that at the very least, the moral there is your child doesn't want you to be perfect and doesn't expect you to be perfect. They kind of just want and expect you to be there. And that's really all they're looking at. I mean, I remember, I'm sure so many people have said this, but I've read in several books, children spell love T-I-M-E. And that has always really stuck out to me. That, like, there's... are you okay?
I threw up in my mouth a little bit. Go ahead.
There it is. There's
no,
the
bread. I'm teasing you.
But honestly...
It's nice. Because, look, those things are cheesy and whatever, like, no I in team and all that stuff. But I remember it. I still remember it on the wall of the gym, you know?
Right.
And it's a good... Yeah. Who doesn't agree with that sentiment? I like that.
Yeah. I think the whole point of it is, one, much like John Voight's daughter, you know, the kids aren't expecting perfection, but it also, to me, it was a reminder as time went on. It's not so much about the stuff that you're giving them and the opportunities that you're providing them and this toy and this, you know, membership to this play area or whatever. It's literally, they would rather just be sitting in a box next to you than doing anything else for the most part. So that, I think, was a good thing to read and know going into being a parent. Back, because I first saw that when she was, you know, a newborn, and she definitely needed time at that point. So I don't know. I think that that's an extra good reminder going into this too, that honestly, they're, as much as we're trying to entertain the kids and keep them engaged and stuff, a lot of the time what they're probably going to remember out of this and really appreciate out of this is suddenly having just a lot more time with you, you know, at the beginning and end of your days. Because obviously, it's different for us because we don't really necessarily have school age kids. So, you know, we're not really coordinating curriculums and keeping them on track while also doing work. So there's, you know, we have it a lot easier than a lot of other people and friends of mine that I'm talking to who are, you know, pulling their hair out trying to make all of that work. But at the very least, the universal thing that they're saying is that they're appreciating more focused family time, you know, throughout the day, just getting little bits of it here and there. And that's ultimately what your kids want, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think also in terms of just her letter specifically, like, you know, a lot of times celebrities will put something out there or make a statement about whatever's going on in the world or whatever. And it just hits so like out of touch and feels weird sometimes or whatever. But I didn't find hers, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't find hers like annoyingly blowhardy, like sometimes people in the public eye can sometimes be, you know what I mean? So I appreciated that. And it felt genuine and it felt nice. And Mrs. Davern is a huge fan of hers, which is the only reason this was called to my attention in the first place. But, you know, it was good. It was good. It was nice.
Yeah, this is fine.
Also, it's a reminder that, you know, we all have different things that we're going through in life, different circumstances, different jobs, different whatever. But at the end of the day, like, everyone is living on this planet together right now and going through, you know, at least the coronavirus, COVID-19 together. And it's nice to be reminded of that from time to time in a sort of a real world way and how it affects you really, not just like the economy and like all the macro stuff, but micro, you know, in terms of like parenting and stuff. So nice to be reminded that we're all in it together. And
absolutely. Now,
hey, go ahead.
Sorry. Well, no, this was going to be a whole different, semi-related, but a whole different conversation. So if you got something, go for it.
No, go.
Well, I was just going to say, I had that moment as you were saying that where I was like, yeah. But is her assistant still there?
No, you know, I know.
Like, that's the part where I honestly wonder, and then I started going, I wonder how many, like, mega celebrity parents either had their nanny or their assistant or whatever just come and live with them this thing. And
well,
just
they probably
say,
already do.
Well, yeah, that's probably true for a lot
There's
of people.
There's a lot of live-in.
Yeah. I just wonder, like, are there any, you know, mega famous parents who are actually now telling the people that were doing a lot of that for them, hey, you know what? Stay home. take care of yourself, take care of your family. I'm just going to take over. I'm going to do all the things that you were doing. Or were they like, no.
Well,
no,
Nathan, you know, the script that we should be writing right now, which I'll say it on the airwaves, so we better hurry up and get
nobody
to market
take
with this
idea,
thing before
guys.
Someone steals it. But the script that we should be writing right now is a comedy piece for a female comedian. Maybe we could pitch this to like Amy Schumer or something like that. But she plays a celebrity mom, right? Who's like on top of the world, you know, book deals, movies, red carpets, all this stuff, right? And she has the staff that you're talking about. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah. Then the coronavirus hits, and what happens is her whole staff has to stay at home and she has to really get to know her kids. Dude, this is a one location comedy. You know what yeah. I'm saying? We yep. like literally cast Ali Wong, Amy Schumer, whoever you want, and just call them Ali or Amy. You know what I mean? Do sort of a Curb Your Enthusiasm
thing.
Type thing yeah. with it. You know, mm-hmm. heightened realism, that kind of thing. And then she, you know, she learns that it's, you know, the important things at home that are more important than her celebrity stylist and publicist and blah, blah, you know, whatever it is. There yeah. you go. Boom. It's a hit. We'll be number one, dude.
I can almost guarantee you there's probably five scripts. One Max Landis is doing one.
Yeah.
And they literally, I can't imagine how many times that idea has crossed the minds of screenwriters who are like, I'm so bored.
Well, and they've written it both ways. One, what it's a dad sometimes, you know, and then the other one, yeah. it's a mom. And, the one is a celebrity dad who's like let's say he's a football player, like maybe a middle linebacker or something. We'll get Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
to be
it's
going to
be Dwayne the Rock
you know?
Johnson.
It's like that
and then,
kind of thing. Yeah.
And Jordan Peele is doing the horror version where she's stuck at home yeah. and there's like yeah. coronavirus mongers outside trying to get in.
Yeah. yeah.
You could
yeah.
take that one plot line and just do a whole series on this yeah. same story. That would be so cool. Can you imagine if that was like part of the challenge was like making this a short, you know, like a 10-minute
right.
short and
making
know,
an
Jordan Peele, Adam McKay, yeah. just all the people who have kind of distinct styles, friggin' Edgar Wright, like everybody do some kind of thing. Steven Soderbergh do one like, oh,
yeah, man.
That would be so
Yo,
funny to do
this.
The same
Come
concept.
On. You're a celebrity. Call people.
Oh, Come yeah. on. I'll just hop on the old tweet box.
Yeah, you know who we should you contact first? Probably John Voight.
Probably John Voight. Yeah, it would just be FDR in the White House in short shorts going, a time which we're living in for me. Coronavirus is poopy.
John Voight.
Oh, man. Man, the Michael Bay coronavirus movie. Because
yeah,
he did Pearl Harbor, so
minutes.
He knows what he's doing. He's worked with John.
Yeah.
It would just be a lot of like lens flare and Megan Fox bending over.
Yeah, yeah. Twirling shots.
Over a, yeah, over know, a car.
Doves
yeah.
being released. Yeah.
Yeah, with some Linkin Park yeah. in there.
Right. No, Doves being released isn't Michael Bay. Who is that? That's who did Face Off? That's a
Oh wow.
Ang Lee? No. Who did Oh boy. I'm gonna get in trouble now for not knowing who directed Face Off. Hold on, I'm looking.
Still never seen Face Off. That's
oh, John
Woo. John Travolta.
John
right?
Woo.
Oh.
John Woo. He goes to like the doves flying around in the background of action movies. Anyway, what I got sidetracked. Sorry.
It's all right. Oh,
a lot of
man.
References. A lot of references up here in this head, Nathan. Sometimes they yeah. don't come out right away. You know.
Yeah. No.
That's
it's okay.
All.
You just you, there's so much information there. I hope everyone has written. Someone out there must have written down every single thing that we referenced. And is hopefully just logging them for future use so that
yeah.
we can know never to call them back to mind again on this show.
Making them part of the Radioactive Dad's board game, trivia board game that we're going to come out with someday.
That's what we'll invent coming out of this thing.
Yeah, man.
Your kid pooped. Go back two spaces and find a diaper.
Your kid pooped. Go back two spaces, have a pizza party, and watch Anaconda starring John Voight.
That was my night, like yeah. 3 days ago.
Oh, you know what else too, John Voight? Here, we're going to set the record for youngest podcast hosts most mentions of John Voight of all time. Though. Somebody call Guinness, okay? This is a world record. You know what movie we haven't mentioned yet? Dude, Have you seen Deliverance?
No.
Oh, man. You got to see Deliverance. That's like a classic, man. Burt Reynolds, John Voight.
Hmm.
Boy, you sure do have a purty mouth. You got to go.
That's where that came from?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Wow. That's, there you go. There's, that. Listen, you have some John Voight homework, Nathan Gress. Varsity man. Blues, Deliverance.
Okay. Those are my top two. I feel like that's going to really swing the pendulum from style to style there.
Dude, Deliverance is Burt Reynolds in a leather vest with his hairy chest just, and shooting a bow and arrow, too.
Wow. I mean, it sounds like you gotta see this movie in three years.
You got to see this movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds highly exciting. I'm definitely going to do that.
You know?
Wait, that's where that came from, too?
Yes! All right, that's it. We're ending this episode. Go watch Deliverance immediately, young man.
Okay, man, I credited the internet with way too many memes that they just invented. I didn't realize that half the memes on the internet were from Deliverance.
Oh, yeah, buddy. That's a weird movie. Three dudes head off into the woods for a camping weekend, and, you know, stuff goes sideways.
Okay, I like that setup. I'm definitely going to have to watch that now.
You'll never go into the woods of rural Georgia again or ever.
Well, that's a shame because I go there every 3 months. So I'm going to have to cancel my next trip because I love the backwoods of Georgia.
And it's where you make all that moonshine.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think I get by during coronavirus? I'm just a bootlegger.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be a lot of people out there making some shine right now.
There's got to be, unless distilleries are considered an essential service for the nutrition.
Well, no, all the distilleries switched over. They're making hand sanitizer. Who's making the booze? Hillbillies. That's who.
Wow. Yep. They totally are. And now moonshine is so cool.
Be careful. Go blind. You go blind drinking moonshine. Do you know, Nathan, here's a weird one for you. Here's a weird fact that rolls around in my brain that you might already know. Mountain Dew, the soda. Right? Mm-hmm. The term Mountain Dew is sort of like slang for moonshine.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. That makes perfect sense.
Back there making that Mountain Dew. Yeah.
Wow.
So
did someone on the marketing team like happen to stumble upon that term and go, that sounds delightful? Or was someone like, hey, you know, we could make people think that this is different than it is, but it might be good for marketing.
Dude, I think it's like I think it is subversive. I think it's on purpose. I think it's like if you're in the know, you know, and if you don't know, it just sounds like a nice name.
Yeah. I mean, Mountain Dew does make me silly, so I guess it does kind of have a similar effect in a way.
Are you drinking more during the quarantine, do you notice?
I got to say, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz here's the thing. Here's the thing. It's a double-edged... Oh, yeah.
We're all and gonna, that's the thing. Now, we might all escape COVID-19, but we're going to have cirrhosis of the liver.
Seriously. Well, I still have limits. But, like, usually it used to be before this, it would be, like, maybe one or two drinks a week. And our big thing was...
Now
like,
it's just when you pass out.
Right,
that's
yeah.
It. That's your limit.
Yeah. So, like, one or two drinks a week became now at least every other day because half of what we do to entertain ourselves is look up cool craft cocktail recipes because it takes some time. So we're doing all of our, you know, blackberry, rosemary, whiskey, sour smashes and our aviation, violet, absinthe, whatevers and our corpse revivers and like all the old, old cocktails that... You know, Hemingway used to drink and all that crap. So we've been doing
that.
There's
an old man reference I love. That's an old man reference. Any Ernest Hemingway, I can get behind that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody can get behind that when you know how much he drank. He was an inspiration.
If that guy recommends a cocktail, you should listen.
I'm pretty sure his drink was the Corpse Reviver, and it's really good. I highly recommend. So we've been doing a good bit of that, more London than me, because now my problem is, now that it's 8 billion degrees outside, I'll usually, when we go outside and hang out in the backyard, I'll usually crack a beer, because when it's hot, you kind of just have to drink one. It's the perfect fix for it. So
well, once you become a dad, if you don't and someone sees you,
you
then
yeah.
they take your children from you.
Right. So, and they're at the very least, they suspend your dad card for like 3 days.
Well, that's the warning, yeah. But then
right, that's
the
first
time,
offense.
They literally just take your child.
Yeah. If you don't have like a meat fork in one hand mm-hmm. and a beer in the other, you're guaranteed to get a sideways look in my
And if it's a Miller High Life, they hand you $1,000 on the spot.
Right,
that's
exactly.
That's the ultimate dad beer, the champagne of beers. So if it's that, you get a prize.
Right, yeah. So. It's not worth it to me. That prize is not worth it for holding a Miller High Life.
Well, no, it's the world's worst game show because if you lose, they take your child. But right. if you win, you get $1,000. Well, who would ever want to play that game?
Right, but in order to win, you have to drink a Miller High Life.
It's not even good beer, yeah.
It's a lose-lose. Really,
the consequences far outweigh the benefits. Let's be honest. Hey, welcome to the world's worst game show. If you lose, we take your children. Jeez. That's some dark stuff.
That is some dark stuff. I'd rather not do that. But yeah. But so anyhow, circling back. Now that I drink a beer during the day, that's my one drink for the day. So yeah. I don't really get the craft cocktail at night anymore because I'm trying to
splurge a little. What are you doing?
I'm splurging my way right through my sweatpants. I haven't put on jeans in a long time, and I'm really worried that by the time this is over, all of those simple syrup cocktails are going to add up. There's a lot of sugar in those things. It's sneaky.
Yeah, that's true.
It's real sneaky. So, that's a good point. I'm concerned if all the distilleries are shutting down. I wonder if there's going to be a premium on booze because unless you're going to go get some of that Costco stuff, that Kirkland brand, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So
we might have to switch to drinking NyQuil, you know, like a
that's
responsible
true.
Adult,
yeah. All the pharmacies are still open. So, and one shot of that and it's night Nightsville.
All right, that's enough. That's clearly a joke. We're ending on that, though. Thanks for listening, everybody. We are the Radioactive Dads. You can find us on social media at Radioactive Dads. It's spelled exactly how it sounds. If you want to email us, if you've got angry emails to send, I'd rather read those. But if you've got nice ones, you could send those too, I guess. RadioactiveDads@gmail.com. RadioactiveDads@gmail.com. Nathan Kress.
Yes.
This is like my favorite hour of the week, honestly. I love it.
Truly.
And I love you. And it's good to hear your voice.
I love you too. It's good to hear your voice as well. I'm so glad we get to do this. It's a moment of sanity in a week of insanity.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It really is, you know? I hate them magazines. Aimed at insecure teens. They make 10-year-olds race to grow up. Don't you hate that, Nathan?
Mm-hmm. I really do. And I'll hate it much more when Rosie's 10.
I'll see you later, buddy. I'll send you a link.
I don't want it to be over. I want to talk more. Let's talk more next week, I guess.
Okay.
All right. Bye. All right. Sounds good. Same time, same bat channel. Bye-bye.